ready, just jump on AuthenticLifeAZ.com, and you can pull up your connection card and the sermon notes, online giving, all that's on there. And you guys have all that in your bulletins today. I'm a little distracted, Tim. I don't even know what I'm doing, man. But, hey, we've been praying for your family and for your wife, and so we're grateful that she's doing well, man. We're just praising God all the way around for that. So she had surgery. Tony had surgery just a few days ago, and they already sent her out and everything, huh? So praise God for that. Glad you guys are here. Why isn't she here? No, I'm just kidding, man. Hey, guys, just let me pray for us before I get in trouble. Father, we love you, and we're so grateful, God, that that we get to be a part of what you're doing. God, thank you for being our God. Thank you, even in the midst of this pandemic and this craziness, God, that you are still God. No matter what voices are going around, we can still listen and trust you. And so, God, we just give you our hearts, our attentiveness, our minds today, God, our ears. And, God, just we ask for a change in us today. Each time we open up the Word of God, each time we worship you, help us be more like you. And so, God, we give you our time. In Jesus' name, amen.
false liar came. I am a tree, bending the knee, the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I'm unaware of these afflictions, it's fine. Deigns to love us, Lord, when we didn't deserve it. We lift your name high, Father. Speak through Jeff as he brings your word to us today, Lord. And let us grow closer to you. In your name, amen.
There we go. Let's try that. Good morning. Sorry, having some technical difficulties for those that are worshiping online, so I was trying to get that taken care of. You guys doing okay? All right. Good to be here today. Thank you, Derek and the team and tech team for leading us in worship this morning. Man, it just, the Bible tells us that we're to worship and sing praises to and about God, and so what a privilege it is to do that together as his family. Guys, for a while, we've been walking through and studying the book of Ephesians verse by verse. This morning, we're going to begin in chapter 6. So we've been walking through this most of the year with some breaks here and there, but chapter 6, so we're getting close to the end. But it's just a great book, guys, reminding us that when we surrender to Jesus, when Jesus rescues us and saves us from our sins, he gives us a new identity. He says, you no longer are who you used to be, but this is who you are now. You're no longer slaves to your sin. You're no longer separated from God, but you're now fully loved, fully forgiven, adopted into a family, into his family, and you've got an eternal home in heaven with God. Church, we're made new, amen, right? And we're given God, the Holy Spirit, to live within us, to reside within us. And Ephesians also teaches us that because we belong to Christ, we're to live that way, right? We're to give evidence of that. Our lives, we do a good job, all of us do a good job of letting our lives give evidence of something, whether it's our sports team, our political party, our job, our giftings, whatever it is, but our lives should give evidence that we belong to Jesus first and foremost. And so to help us live that life, we've got the Holy Spirit within us to guide us and lead us. But Paul in Ephesians addresses some pretty important areas of our lives, and he speaks of the importance of how do we live as Jesus followers. So he speaks of how we live within the church, right? We're to value and be a part of the church family, right? He talks about the importance of gathering, how we're to live and serve and do life together. He addresses individually and as the church how we are to walk and do life, how we're to talk and think. He even talks about how we're to relate to each other, how we're to serve and love as brothers and sisters in Christ and as children of God. And so he's got all these big things that he's addressing in our lives. And then Paul, later in Ephesians 5, addresses our relationships within the home and within the family. And so the last 2 weeks, we looked at God's design for marriage and the family. We learned that it's important to trust God. We're in a world that tries to cheapen marriage. Amen? It just does. Tries to devalue it, redefine it. But our job is to listen to what God says and just to trust and honor him with those roles. This morning, we continue in Ephesians. If you've got your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6, we'll get to that in just a second. But we're going to continue to learn from God's Word, continue to look at his design for the family within the home, but also for us as a church. And so last week we looked at God's design for godly roles within the marriage. Today we look at children and also their relationship with their parents. For me, I'm looking forward to this morning. To be honest with you, as I was studying this text, You know, if sometimes, for those that have taught, sometimes you, actually it should be this way all the time, but sometimes a little more than others, you study and you just get encouraged and challenged and really even convicted sometimes, right? And this passage did this for me. So let's let God be at work today. Amen? We'll do that. A lot of times, here's the thing for some of us. A lot of times we come to passages like this where it says children and parents, and we're like, okay, I'm going to check out because I'm not a child or I don't, right, I'm not a parent, and that's not where I'm at. But I want to challenge you, don't check out, right, because I want to remind you that God's Word has already told us that we're all together as a family. We're to encourage one another, we're to pray for one another in how we walk with Christ. But the church has a role within the families at home as well, right? We're to be a part of what God is doing within the families and children. And I hear something. Just listen to that. That's good. Sermon's playing over the sound. Just kidding. I'll keep talking. But we do. The church has a role in that. But here's the other thing. What we're going to cover today, we're a mess today, aren't we? Right? But what we're going to cover today, guys, is going to be deeper than just children and the role for parents in that. And so don't check out today. Be ready to hear from God no matter where you are or who you are. And so Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. So if you guys are able, would you stand to honor God and His Word and just follow along as I read this morning? Ephesians 6, chapter 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you with our Bibles open, our hearts ready to hear from you, God, we pray, Lord, that you would give us a humble and submissive heart. Help our ears be ready to hear and our lives be ready to apply in whatever way that you need to speak to us today, God. And God, we pray, Lord, today that you'd be at work in hearts. Maybe someone here or online doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. God, we pray, Lord, you would draw them near to you and, God, that they would respond and call on you to save them. So, God, we pray, Lord, you'd be at work today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. All right. So at the time that Paul wrote the letter to the church of Ephesus, and for really us too, but there were a few opposing views as to children and the value of children in that day. So there's two opposing views, bigger on the opposite ends of the spectrum here. You have those that are Roman, I said this in the first service too, Greco-Roman, right? So you have the Greco-Roman culture, and then you have the church culture. And in the Greco-Roman culture, children were not highly valued. So think about this. You got the church that's living within this context, right? And in their world, in their culture, children were not valued. But in the church, it was to be different, right? In the Roman culture, they were looked down upon. They were often treated with cruelty. And to give you a picture of how much they devalued children, I'm just going to paint this picture for you. The Romans were known for allowing parents to just take their unwanted kids and just leave them, to abandon them. Right, they were known for allowing disabled and weak children to have their lives taken. Some parents, if they didn't want their child and they didn't see any value or any worth in their child, what they would do is they would take it to the trash heap and they would leave the child there. This is messed up, isn't it? I mean, just think about that picture. And you know, a lot of times when we have big item pickup, what do? We take things out of our home, we set them on our curb, and then people come by and they're like, hey, I want this, right? They grab things, right? What our trash is someone else's, right? So here's what this, in a very messed up way, here's what they did. So they would take their children to the trash heap, and then here's what would happen. You would have some cruel individual, people that just cared about money, and they would come by and they say, hey, there's a young man. I'm going to grab a hold of this young man, and I'm going to raise him up so that we can use him for sport, like in Gladiators or something like that, right? And so they would do that, and often they would say, hey, I'm going to grab this young man or this young woman. I'm going to sell him into slavery because I could use the money. And often with young ladies, especially young ladies, they would sell them into prostitution, right? So some of the things we're seeing today aren't new. They've been happening for a long time. And so within the church should be quite the opposite of that, right? They were highly valued. And we know that for a few different reasons, but one big reason is the simple fact that children were addressed in the letter of Ephesians. Now, what Paul is doing in Ephesus is he's addressing some big deals. And if you're going to make it into this letter, it must be a big deal. Author Tony Marita says this, the fact that Paul mentions children is in such an important letter demonstrates the value the early church placed on children. But Jesus himself, he had to address this with God's people too when he was doing his ministry. even with his own disciples, because children at that point, while Jesus was on earth, within the Jewish people, they still weren't valued until they were at a certain age. If they couldn't pitch in, they were just burdens. But church, it's important for us to pause on that first word of our passage today where it says children, because before we dive in, we need to address the value that God places on children. And I'm going to tell you, this is the part that got me, because as I'm at home on Friday trying to help my kids with their schoolwork and stuff like that, I mean, you just get this challenge, man, this is messed up and this is a challenge, and you get irritated and you're frustrated. But God really challenged me on Friday and said, man, Jeff, I gave you these kids, right? Value them in the way. Are you with me, guys? And so, man, I hope it challenges you in the same way. In your notes, you'll see it laid out this way. When it comes to children, for us as Jesus followers, right, we must value and care for all children. This applies to all of us within the church. You may not have children of your own or your past, whatever that looks like, but all of us must value and care for all children. Right? As followers of Jesus, we're to place a high value and care greatly for them. And so like we did a couple weeks ago, the value for people goes all the way back to the beginning for human life. We looked at this when talking about husbands and wives, and we're going to look at it again today. Genesis 1:27, God has spoken all these things into creation, and then it comes to man, and it says this: so God created man in his own image. He created him, so people, in the image of God, he created them male and female. And that's a great verse for us to go back to when it's talking about seeing and valuing people, because sometimes we have a hard time doing that. You know, we can look at our kids a certain way, or our coworkers, people might be older or younger or different than us, and we just struggle with placing value on them. And so here's the challenge for us today. We must look at children, right, and place that value on them, because sometimes we look at children and we say, hey man, you're just needy. Right? That's how we view children. Or you're just troublesome, or you're just going to change my life. I shared this in the first service. I don't know why I'm sharing it again, but because it doesn't make me look very good. But when I was younger, I was doing finance, and I had this family come into my office, right? And it's a very professional setting. And I'm just telling you, God changed me, okay? So don't hate me, okay? But they come in, right? And their kids are just all over the place. Man, we had to clean up my office after we were done. But the wife of this couple, the mom said, she goes, I'm so sorry, you know, my kids were this way. And I said, no, it's okay. And she goes, are you sure? And I said, yeah, they're my birth control, right? It just kind of challenged me not to have children. That's not a good attitude, guys, is what I'm getting at. And so sometimes we look at children in that way. You guys forgive me, right? Because God has changed me, okay? All right. But here's the thing. When we look at children, here's what that means. That baby in the womb, okay? The baby in the cradle, the toddler, the child, the teenager, they too were created in the image of God. God created them to walk with them and to know them and to love them and to care and provide for them and to be their God. And from the beginning, all life, including children, have a very high value. You're not convinced yet. You're like, you haven't convinced me, Pastor. Here's what Psalm 139 says in verse 13. For it was you, God, David says. He doesn't talk to him about as an adult. He said, you created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And so I will praise you because I'm remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous. It doesn't say that they're a burden until they get to a certain age. It says they're wondrous, and I know it very well. God placed a very high value and cared greatly for life beginning in the womb. He was personally involved in our development inside the womb. Church, he knew us before we came out. Here's the thing. Sometimes we think the better we are with God and the more religious we are, the more he'll love us. Let me tell you, that child in the womb can never be more loved by God. Amen? All right. Still not convinced. Check out Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a, say that with me, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a, not a burden, but a reward. Children are not to be looked down upon, but seen as a gift from God, a reward to be cared for and valued. And then just basically looking at the context of our passage, going back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible teaches us that as followers of Christ, right, if you're filled by the Holy Spirit, one of the evidences of that is that we are to look out for the needs of others and place them before us. And so because we follow Jesus and his example, we serve and we sacrifice for others, including those that are dependent and vulnerable like children. And then we come to Matthew chapter 19 and see the greatest teacher. Jesus helps us, and he helps those that are following him understand the value of children. Matthew chapter 19, By the way, just a side note, I think people that struggle with, you know, abortion and that idea, I don't even go into talking about them being evil or anything like that. I just go and say, man, you're not valuing that life. I think that's where it needs to go. Do we value life the way that God created it? So here we go, Matthew chapter 19. Jesus was answering questions. He was teaching. He's out there, you know, wrestling with the religious leaders. He's out there doing the work, right? Jesus was kind of a big deal. And then in verse 13, it says, then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. That's the disciples of Jesus, right? These 12, right? They did not see children as valuable, and they're walking with Jesus, and so he has a moment with them, right? Here's what's happening. These parents and these caregivers, they see Jesus. They see who he is and what he's been doing, and they bring their infant and toddler age children to Jesus. The word children here talks about those that really need us, right? They are vulnerable. They need us. And so their parents are taking them to Jesus. They wanted God in the flesh to touch them and to bless their children. And the disciples, they're thinking, guys, Jesus has adults to talk to, right? He's got important things to do. Basically, what they're saying is get those kids out of here. But Jesus, this is one of those moments where Jesus had the righteous anger, and he responds very directly to them. He says this. Basically, he's saying, hey, don't devalue my children. But here's what he says. Leave the little children alone and don't try to keep them from coming to me. Because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. After placing, I just love it, he serves them. After placing his hands on them, he went on from there. And so we learn a few things from Jesus this morning. First is this, God places a high value on children, which guess what? We must do the same. If you wrestle with that, I'm just telling you, take that to God and repent of that and ask God to help you with that. Jesus did have a lot to do. He had the religious leaders to confront. He had the multitudes to speak to, but he took the time to bless and love these children. Second, as Jesus followers, we're to follow Jesus, right? We're to be Christians, right? And so we're to be intentional in how we invest in the next generation. Jesus took the time to invest in these children. Their parents took the time to invest in these children. Guys, your children were given to us. They're given to our church to value and to care for and for us to provide for them and for us to even invest in them, even spiritually. Often we think, hey, we're doing a good job. We got a food on the table, right? We've got a roof over their head. They're safe. They've got a nice bed. They got all the toys they need. But have you talked to them about Jesus? Right? These parents are bringing their children to Jesus. Are we bringing our children to Jesus? Are we teaching our kids in our homes, right? And here at our church, are we pointing them to Jesus? Now, we don't save our kids, right? We rejoiced over the moment, my wife and I, when both of my boys, two separate times, gave their life to Jesus, surrendered to him, and called on him to save them. And you celebrate that, amen, right? But we need to teach our kids about Jesus, guys. Let it never be at Authentic Life that our children's department is only for babysitting. Man, we love kids in here, by the way. I'm getting used to it, right? But here's the thing. In here, some of you are like, don't get too used to it. We want them back in there, right? But here's the thing, guys. In our kids' department, we're going to invest in the children. We're going to teach them about Jesus. We're going to point them to Christ and share the gospel with them and open up the Word of God. Parents and church, invest in our kids spiritually. And I got an amen from my wife this morning. Kim, you can do it this morning. If you don't have kids, or even if you do, you have an opportunity to pour into kids right here at Authentic Life Church and our kids' life. There you go. Amen, right? It's a big deal. They're not the future of the church. They're the church now, right? They are the next generation that's going to be leading, right? But as Christians, when we think of kids, we got to challenge how we think of them. Do we say, oh man, I'm pregnant, or they're pregnant, or you're what? Right? No, we should rejoice at the birth of a child, right? We should see them as a life that God knit together and created. We should understand that as parents, we've got to provide and protect and to point them to Jesus. And that means we need to live our lives and speak words that do that. God gave us these children, and we should point them right back to him. That leads us to our second note this morning. First, value and care for children. Second is this, we must set a Christ-like example for our children. Parents, I don't think that ever ends, by the way. I still look to my parents to be Christ-like example, right? I don't think that ever ends. So we set that example. We're going to cover that more into depth today as we begin to study this week. Just figured out we're going to cover verse 4 next week. But what we see here, exampled in this counter with Jesus, is the parents are not only bringing their children to Jesus, right? Now, we can't make that decision for them, but we can point them to Jesus, right? We're to live our lives and to invest in them and teach them about Jesus and his word. But here's another application for us. Go back to verse 14 of chapter 19. Leave the children alone. Don't try to keep them from coming to me, but the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. I think when we see children, sometimes we should be reminded of how we're supposed to come to God spiritually. Guys, here's the thing. We get our big boy pants on, our big girl pants on, right? We come to God and we tell him what's best, or we're like, hey, God, we got this thing, but it's just good to know that I'm going to spend eternity with you, right? We're to come to Christ like children. We're to come to God and pray to him like children, fully dependent on him, right? Think about that. And when you look at a child, be reminded of that. And here's the thing. Well, I don't want to go too deep into it because we got this for next week. But here's the thing. Live out a Christ-like example for children, because the world will live out a different example. Amen? Now, before we move on, I want us to see this. As Jesus followers, we value and care for children, and we set a Christ-like example when we love even those outside of our faith family. It's not just the ones in our home. It's not just the ones in Authentic Life. It's even those that are out here. Our church has made it a point from almost the get-go. We value children from the get-go, right? But almost from the get-go that we would love and value and care for all children in need. Pastor of mine growing up said, don't be a church that's just in the community, but for the community. Our church has, and we should always value and care and set a Christ-like example by supporting foster care and adoption. I'm just telling you, it's non-negotiable, right? We've got to do that. We've got to set the example and value those that are vulnerable, those that are in need, those that are abandoned, those that are fatherless. We've got a responsibility, church, to see them and to serve them, right? But also come alongside foster and adoptive families, right? And then also come alongside the agencies that are serving in that area. Our church has a partnership with DCS, by the way. You know, it's just incredible what doors he's opened up. They're just endless. We've got all these opportunities because we've surrendered to God in that area, and we just want to be used by him. But also take a look at your life around you. Maybe you've got a grandchild, a niece or a nephew, or maybe a neighbor, and the kids need help and support and care. We're to see them and serve them and love them and welcome those children as Jesus has welcomed children and welcomed us. All that was from one word, right? Man, children. Value and care for children. Set a Christ-like example. And next what we're going to look at is how God calls children to respond and live within the home. And so just a reminder for parents, we're going to see instructions for kiddos. Children, you're going to have to listen up, right? We're going to have to make sure you guys hear this. Children or parents, you're probably going to elbow. Go ahead and do that. You can elbow your kids. Say, hey, pay attention, right? Just not too hard. But remember this. We said this last week. Husbands, you want to have an Ephesians 5 wife, be an Ephesians 5 husband, and vice versa. Are you with me? Right? You want your kids to be able to obey you, right, and to value you and all this other kind of stuff. Value them, care for them, love them, and be a Christ-like example for them. Does that make sense? All right. That'll help them live out godly instruction in our home. And so now for the rest of the text, the Bible says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we know that we saw last week all people, equal value, equal dignity, but God has designs and roles within the family. We saw that with husbands and wives last week, and we'll see it this week for children and parents a little bit. But here's what God's word says. Children, obey your parents. That's the note. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, when you dive in, I had some fun doing word study this week, exegeting this word children, and it's an important word because all young people need to hear this, okay? The word that Paul uses here for children, it's not the word that he used when Jesus was coming, still talking about children, right? But we're not talking about just infants or just toddlers or just elementary age. The word goes beyond that. So young people, I need you to help me say this word, okay? This is the Greek word for children. Go ahead and say that word. Technon, come on, you guys, that was, you guys tried, all right, but we'll give you a C, okay, but technon, I'm going to use that word, technon, that's the word right here, and here's what this means. That word technon, It's speaking of offspring or children. We've all been offspring or children, right? We all are that. But here's where this word is different from other children. This word will speak of specifically of one who is still a dependent on their parents or their guardian. Does that make sense? So it's not just infants. It's not just toddlers. It's not just elementary age. It's not just middle school or high school. Here's what it means. If you are still dependent on your parents or guardian, this is talking to you. Amen? All right. If you're an infant, you don't have a clue what I'm saying, so we'll just move on. Right? If you are a child in elementary school, this is for you. Right? If you're in middle school, you're in high school, this is for you. Now, I might ruffle, how do you say that word? Ruffle. Okay. A few, it's really hard. I can say technon, but I can't say ruffle. Right? Might ruffle a few feathers here, but this is what God's word says. You're a high schooler. You're a college-age student, you're a young adult, and you are still dependent on your parent or guardian, this is talking about you. So you don't like the word children, use technon, right? Sounds better, right? Sounds cool anyways. I took the time to cover that because a lot of young people struggle with that, right? I struggled with that. And if you're honest, you did too. Right? If you're an adult at this point, you wrestled with that. You hit a point in your life where you're just like, man, I can make my own decisions, Dad. I'm 18 years old. Sup? You know, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, come on, people. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy, but we do that. We wrestle with that. Sometimes we keep it inside and sometimes it comes out. Mine came out a little bit more than it should, right? But here's the thing. If we are still under the care, we're still dependent on our parents or guardians, the Bible says obey your parents. Parents, now let me be clear. This sermon isn't for you to win an argument with your child. It's not. It's not for you to rub it in their face. This is a reminder for you as well to help them and encourage them and prepare them to do what God's called them to do. And so you have to continue to value them and care for them and set that Christ-like example. But kids, young people, technon, right? The Bible's clear. The same God that made you, the same God that died for you on the cross, his word is saying, if you want to honor and follow Christ, then obey your parents. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Guys, it's ultimately, young people, hear me out. It's ultimately about your love for Jesus. That's what it is. Jesus says in John 14, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Because you love me, obey your parents. Amen? Right. But here's the thing. A few years ago, just a few years ago, I remember it well. Man, you don't have to say amen. Young people, don't say amen. But your parents will embarrass you. Okay? They will frustrate you. They will irritate you. You will disagree with them. But unless your parents are asking you to do something that is sinful and goes against God's word, because you love Jesus, you're to obey your parents. Amen? Are you with me? Here's what that looks like. Children, young people, technon, to obey your parents and guardians, it means this. Hear them, understand them, and respond rightly to them. Hear, understand, and respond. The idea is not just to hear their voice and say, yeah, yeah, okay, but it's to listen, to make sure that you understand what they're saying, right? Sometimes we just kind of, yeah, yeah, parents, I get it, and we put our cell phone back in front of our face, or we stomp off to our room, right? But if you don't understand what they're saying, how are you going to obey them? And so here's going to be a challenge for parents. If your child is a little bit older where they can understand, help them understand, okay? It's one of those things. When they're younger, I get it. It's, hey, I told you to do it. That's why you need to do it. You're teaching them submissive. You're teaching them to obey. But as they get older, help them understand. Right? Help them understand what they're doing and why. Make sure they understand what you're asking of them. And then young people, respond. Obey. Don't respond by ignoring or disobeying, but respond in a way that honors God, because God's word says, for this is right. And so young people, hear me. You want to follow Jesus? You want to grow in your walk with Christ? I need you to hear this. You cannot be right with God and disobeying your parents. Are you with me? You want to grow in your walk with Christ? Learn to obey your parents. It's God's design for you to do that. And I need you to hear something. Your parents are held responsible before God on how they raise you. So obey them. All right, you guys put your shoulders down and relax a little bit. We're going to move on, right? But here's what verse 2 says. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So children, technon, honor your father and mother. Paul is quoting Exodus 20, verse 12. It's the fifth commandment, but it's the first one that has a promise coming after it. And to honor your father and mother really speaks of your heart and your attitude toward them. So here's the thing. You can obey your parents and still dishonor them. Right? If you're younger and your parents say, hey, I need you to go do this, and then you're like, fine, and you stomp off, and then you go and slam the door for good measure because you really want them to get your point, right? I'm really upset, right? That's not dishonoring your parents. I mean, that is dishonoring your parents. I said that one wrong. Right? Are you with me? Right? You can be obedient and still dishonor them. Your heart and your attitude were not right. And when we dishonor our parents, we dishonor God. And so children, honor your parents. Here's what that word honor means. It means place a high value on them. Look at how valuable your parents are. Respect them. See the parents that God has given you. See the foster parents, the adoptive parents, the biological parents, the guardians that God has given you. See their value. See that God has placed you in their care and that they have a God-given responsibility to teach and instruct and even discipline you. I wish I would have heard this message more clearly when I was younger. Are you with me, adults? Like, it is kind of, man. But they have a responsibility to provide and protect and to speak truth into your life, and you're to respond by obeying and honoring them with a godly attitude. Guys, that means talk to them with respect. Right, young people, can you hear me? Talk to them with respect. Think well of them. Young people, I even challenge you, pray for them. Pray for your parents. Right? And parents, in a loving and God-honoring way, teach your children to honor you. Notice I said in a loving and God-honoring way. This isn't a, I'm going to beat you into submission type thing. That's not God-honoring. That's sin. Amen? Right? But teach them to honor you. Let them see you honor God. Let them see you honor your parents. Here's the reality. A child that grows up without honoring and respecting their parents will likely not honor and respect others in general throughout the rest of their life. It's a reality. Your children at a younger age are not to be your best friends. That's not the goal. You have a responsibility as their parents first and foremost. Are you with me? It got quiet there for a second, right? But look at the world around us. When we're seeing people, young people, not just what we're seeing on the news, but we're seeing it in the homes, we're seeing it in our schools. We don't teach our young people to honor their parents. They won't do it when they get out of the house. So children, technon, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Hear them, understand them, rightly respond to them, and honor them, which means respect and value them. And so then Paul goes on and says, it's the first commandment with a promise so that it may be well with you and that you will live long on the earth. We can go real deep into what God was talking about with his people and all that other stuff. But God, he's telling us that you honor them so that it may be well with you and so that you may live long on the earth. Applicable for us, Paul is saying a couple things. He's saying when you dishonor your parents in multiple ways, spiritually, emotionally, physically, you are endangering yourself. It's about as broad as we could put it. You are endangering yourself spiritually, physically, and emotionally when you dishonor your parents. All throughout Proverbs, the Bible teaches of the harm and destruction that comes when a child dishonors or disobeys their parents. God has placed them in your life for a purpose, right? So obey them, honor them, because that means you love and honor God. But he also speaks of God's blessing. Great spiritual blessings come to those who honor their parents. Before we close, it's important to know that this passage to honor your parents, it's not just for children in the sense of young children. It doesn't stop at childhood. It doesn't end when you move out. To honor your parents is a lifelong journey and responsibility. Scripture speaks of honoring your parents throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, at every age. So when we're at home, right, when we're young, when we're in school, when we haven't moved out yet, honor your parents. When you move out, honor your parents. When you're fully grown, honor your parents. When your parents are older and need care, honor your parents. The obeying may come to an end at one point, right? But we have to continue to honor and value and show respect and give care to our parents. There's no exception clause. Right? There's no exception clause. Last week we were looking at husbands and wives. Well, I could do this if my husband did this, or I could do this if my wife did this. We don't have an exception clause right there. Right? When it comes to honoring our parents, there's no exception clause. It doesn't stop. And here's how we know this. It's just one passage, 1 Timothy 5. Paul is instructing the church, and he's talking about honoring our parents in their older age, and he specifically talks about those that are widows. He says in verse 4 of chapter 5, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, he's talking to the church, Christians, let them learn to practice godliness toward their own family first and to repay their parents, for this pleases God. We are to care for and honor our parents always. Why? Not because they deserve it. Maybe they do. Hopefully they do. But because it pleases God. Here's the great thing. Family was God's idea. Right? And it's a good idea. He instituted family. He provided children as a gift to their parents and parents as a gift to their children. Right? And so children, young people, older people, honor your father and mother. Right? Especially when you get old. You might not see eye to eye. Right? You might not agree. There may be some hurt there. In fact, let's just put it this way. We're all people, so there's going to be hurt. Okay? Parents, own up to it. You're going to hurt your children. And so guess what? Practice humility and ask for forgiveness. I remember that with my child. My little boy was with me where I was feeding him this gross-looking baby food. It stains the wall and the carpet and everything else it touches, right? But here I am, I'm kind of doing the, you know, and kind of doing the whole, did you hear that? It's really cool. Anyways, but you know, the plain thing. And my son, because we're playing and having a good time, he took his hand and went whack. And it went all over me, all over the ceiling, all over the wall. And there was a table. Here's my son right here, and there's a table over here. And I did not respond the way that I should. I slammed my hand down at the table. I said, Jax, don't you ever do that again. He's like 3 months old, or however old kids are when they eat. I don't know. But he looked at me different. His eyes changed. His body language changed. And man, God convicted my heart. And I grabbed his little hand with tears in my eyes and said, Daddy, so sorry. Parents, don't be afraid to apologize to your kids, because you will hurt them. Amen? You will. Young people, even if your parents hurt you, honor them. Honor them. Jesus followers, honor God by honoring your parents. As we close today, earlier we talked about the Romans devaluing children and what they put them through. Maybe today you're saying, Pastor, you're talking about this family and how I'm supposed to love and honor and obey and all this other stuff and honor my parents and adulthood and all that other stuff, but I didn't have a good childhood. You might even say, I don't even know who my parents are. Or you might say, I wish I didn't know who my parents were. You could say, I wasn't valued. You could say, Pastor, I was tossed aside into the trash heap. My parents didn't point me to Jesus. Right? My parents gave me nothing to honor or obey about them. Maybe they weren't even there in your life. I need you to hear this today. Jesus sees you. Okay? Jesus sees you. He sees that condition in you. He knows the hurt. He feels that. He knows the abandonment. He feels that, church. And he loves you, and he actually came for you. He came to rescue those that were tossed aside. He came to rescue the abandoned, the weary, the abused, and the hurt. He came to rescue you from that. And here's the great news. He has no intention of leaving you there. And not only is he not going to leave you there, but he's not going to sell you out. Right? He came for you to be his. Right? He came for you to follow him and to be rescued and saved by him. And here's the thing. When we follow Jesus, when we become his, right, when we're saved by him, we are brought into his perfect family. So even if you grew up in a real godly home, there's nothing that compares to the family of God. Right? You're brought into God's family, fully rescued, fully forgiven, fully loved, fully valued, fully cared for, and adopted. So the question is do you know Jesus? Right? Because if not, everything else that we just covered in here doesn't really mean a whole lot, right? Because you can't do those things without the Lord leading you to do it. Are you with me, church? Right? And so here's the thing. If you don't know Jesus, it's not about earning him. Think about the Greco-Roman culture, right? If the kids didn't earn the love and the value from their parents, they could be tossed aside. That's not what it is with God. He says, I see you. I see the mess that you're in. And I'm going to reach down and I'm going to rescue you from that. Think about how much he valued you, right? While you were still sinner, Christ died on the cross for you. So if you're here today, hear me clearly. God won't leave you there. He won't leave you on the trash heap. He says, come be mine. The Bible says that he'll draw us near to him and call us to follow him. The question is will you follow him? Will you turn? Jesus actually says, repent, right? Turn away from you being Lord and let Jesus be Lord of your life. And so church, just as we close, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and just have that moment with God. What is God teaching you? Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I'm a parent and I could grow in the area of valuing and loving my kids. I could do a better job of living out a Christ-like example for them. God, help me in that. Maybe you're saying, man, it's got to be tough for my kids to obey and respect and honor me because I don't give them much to obey and respect. And it's not a moment to carry shame for that. It's just to say, God, take me where I am right now and help me grow. Maybe you're a child in here today. Maybe you're a technon in here today, right? And you just, God, help me obey and value and honor my parents. Maybe you're older and your parents are older and they need help. They need you to love them and care for them. God, help me value and honor my parents. Let God speak to your heart today. Let him be in charge. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I don't know Jesus, right? I feel like I don't have any value. I feel like I've tried to earn God my whole life. Here's the thing. You can stop. Because you can't earn God. And so he comes from heaven and he came down to be born a baby in the most humble of circumstances, right? Surrounded, his first hospital guests were animals. He's laying in a manger of hay in a place meant for animals. And he lived the life we couldn't live, a perfect life, and died a sinner's death. He died on the cross carrying our sin, carrying your sin. If that doesn't tell you value, I don't know what that tells you. He loves you. And so if you feel devalued or you've been cast out on the trash heap, know that Jesus came to rescue from that. And the Bible says this, that God so loved the world. You can put your name in there. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, whoever believed in him would not perish, which means they would no longer separated from God, no longer destined for hell, but would have eternal life. It means that you get to live for eternity with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So what do we do? What do we do in that moment? The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, he's in charge. You're not, right? If we confess that he's in charge, he's the boss. And we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, which means you know that he died for your sins and rose again. The Bible says that if you confess that and believe in your heart that you'll be saved. And we can trust that promise in God. And so if you're here today and say, you know what, I need to confess Jesus as Lord. I need to believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead when he died for my sins. If that's you today, said, I don't know Jesus, but I want to know him right now. If that's you today, man, eyes are closed, right? If you're just look at me and raise your hand, make it very clear. Today's the day that I want to give my life to Jesus to be adopted into the family of God. If you're online, email me, jeff@authenticlifeaz.com. Or go and fill out that connection card and let us know. We'll contact you today. Or we'll set up a time to connect with you. But church, don't leave today without knowing Jesus. God, we love you so much. Thank you that we get to open up the Word of God and be challenged as followers of Christ, as adults, as seniors, as young adults, as children. God, help us honor you by following the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Church. Hey, it's been a good day. Amen. All right. Hey, over there on the refrigerator, it's weird to say in church, over there on the refrigerator, there are these things to put on your windows. And so I figured people wouldn't really want bumper stickers on their car. That's kind of a thing of the past. I don't know, but you can peel these on and off. But if they're over there, and so if you want to grab one to put those on the back window, you can do that. It just says, you probably want to know what it says, Authentic Life Church with our website. So just lets people know, and so they see that on there. There's also some gift cards over there to Dairy Queen. We gave some of those out for Mother's Day, and we have some left over. So only two per family if you haven't received one yet, if you guys want to grab one of those as well. Let's pray, and let's go out and honor God with our lives. By the way, real quick, sorry. I got to tell you, this morning we welcomed Sharon Coleman into our family as a church family. She was presented in front of the church. She went through the membership class. And so if that's something that you guys want to do, let us know. We're doing that online right now. Now let's pray. Father, we love you, God, and we're so grateful that you love us, that you value us. You don't leave us where we are, but you bring us into the family of God, made new. And then you help us grow to become more like Christ. God, young people, middle age, older people, God, we pray, Lord, today that as your church, we would honor you by obeying the word of God and just trusting you. God, we pray, Lord, that you'd be with our young people. God, I know it's a challenge as they're growing and learning. God, we just pray, Lord, that as parents, we would live lives that are worth obeying and worth honoring. But God, for the young people, we pray, Lord, that you would just help them be obedient and honor their parents. Help us as adults always honor our parents. God, help us go out this week and share the gospel. Help people see Jesus in us, but help them hear it from our lips. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you guys are dismissed, church.